Hey, welcome to the Ridge Church Podcast. My name is Jonathan. I'm the lead pastor here at Ridge Church. Our desire is to follow Jesus in every area of our lives. This podcast is an opportunity for us to have deeper conversations with leading experts in their fields around some of the issues that are so prevalent in our culture today. And today we want to have a conversation around the whole area of mental health. Mental health includes our emotional, our psychological, our social well-being. It affects how we think and feel and act. It helps us determine how we handle stress, how we relate to others, how we make the decisions in our life. And mental health is an issue that is prevalent not only in the middle of our lives, but all the way from when we're young through adolescence and even into our senior years. And so over these couple of podcasts, we've invited three experts in their fields, all who love Jesus deeply, to come and to talk to us around the whole issue of mental health. And while mental health is something that we should be aware of in all seasons of our life, it seems particularly prevalent and important for us in these COVID days that we talk about it. So today, it's my privilege to welcome to our podcast, Dr. John. He is an addiction medicine physician at the Royal Columbian Hospital and has been treating substance use disorders for over 7 years. And today, we're going to be talking about the whole issue of addiction, which, of course, is what Dr. John specializes in. So, Dr. John, welcome here. Glad to have you.
Thanks.
Yeah. Could you start? Just tell us, how did you get into this whole area of dealing with addiction?
Well, my interest started early, actually. I volunteered when I was a teenager at a soup kitchen in New Westminster. And I started to ask the questions about why people were here and what their lives were about. And I think I got my first taste of the underlying issues that lead people down certain paths. And then through my training and education, I started meeting individuals who were working in the field. One of my professors at SFU was a particularly influential mentor of mine, and he practiced addiction medicine in his work. And he told me that people got better, and that idea intrigued me.
Huh. Yeah, that is the intriguing idea,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So around here, I mean, we're in an area where we see lots of sort of the effects of addiction on some of the people living on the streets around the church.
Yeah.
And so we're quite aware of it there. But addiction is much broader than just what we see on the streets, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, the question is how when we're talking addiction, how broadly do we define that? Because often people think just drugs and alcohol, but it's broader than that, right?
Yeah, I think addiction in general is a lay term. It's an idea to describe, you know, pattern behavior, and we put all sorts of things into that. You know, addicted to good behaviors, like I'm addicted to exercise or addicted to our favorite foods. But I think in a medical sense, you know, it's often talking about things that cause harm or have consequences would be you know, a key difference.
Right.
Yeah. So something that you're addicted to is hurting you in some way.
Right.
Yeah.
So could we, I mean, the question is, you know, when we're talking about addiction today, can we define that more broadly to be not just alcohol and drugs, but possibly sex or porn or eating, overeating, you know, I mean, is that?
Absolutely. And clinically, people present with all these types of issues. Anything that causes somebody distress, they'll see their, you know, their doctor for or some other person in their life that they seek for help. You know, there's some things that have, you know, official diagnoses, and some things that are harder to nail down in terms of diagnosis. For example, eating. You know, we know that you can overeat and that can cause you major health problems, but eating is a necessary part of life, and therefore there's a certain healthy part to it. There's not too much healthy things to using certain drugs.
Right.
You know, certain substances are mostly harmful.
Sure.
If not all harmful, yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how you know, when we're talking about addiction, whether it's substances or something like that, where do you draw the line between, I really enjoy this?
Yeah.
And where do you cross that line into like, oh no, this is an addiction? Like how do you sort of differentiate that?
People often think if they do something too much, they're addicted to it. But the actual definition of what a substance use disorder is or an alcohol use disorder has much more to do with the effects on somebody's life and much less to do with the amounts or frequency. So The four C's of addiction are compulsivity, so compulsive use, loss of control over that behavior or that use, cravings for that substance or behavior, and then lastly and most importantly, our consequences. So the ways that affects somebody in terms of their health, their social interactions, their work, kind of the multiple domains of their life. So if it doesn't kind of cross over into these four C's of addiction, you know, then it might be just something that you enjoy.
Yeah. So can a person self-diagnose themselves as with an addiction? Can they say, yes, I have that? Or is that something that only someone like yourself or someone from the outside looking in can see?
Well, I think first of all, we're more aware today about addictions because of all the press. So there's lots of news about addiction in general because of the fentanyl overdose crisis. So I think a lot of people are aware of it in their own lives, or elements of addiction in their own lives, much more than maybe they used to be. And I think when you become aware of what's going on with you, with your health, I think there's a lot of times where people say, yeah, that's me. You know, I identify with that. And, you know, whether somebody eventually gives them an official diagnosis or not, somebody might go and seek help for it. And I think that's totally okay. Just like if you knew that, you know, that you were, your lifestyle was leading to blood pressure problems or, you know, a diabetes problem, you might go and change your lifestyle, eat better, exercise, and that problem might get better without, you know, going to a doctor.
Yeah. To go and to say, hey, I've got an addiction, or I think I've got an addiction there's not a problem with that. Like there's less stigma, would you say, than there used to be or not?
You know, I'd like to think so, but still recognizing that it's a big hill to climb, and that even though we can talk about it, maybe we have some language for it where we didn't before, it's still something that people hide, from, because there's lots of shame and guilt. Sometimes that's not even put on by society or others. It's put on by ourselves. We can be our own worst enemies, and it keeps people from getting help, for sure.
Isn't that interesting? Yeah. What if you think somebody that you love has it's one thing for me to maybe be able to self-diagnose, but maybe my spouse is like, oh no, you've got an issue, or somebody, a brother or a sister. Like, if you're that brother or sister or spouse, should you come to someone and say, hey, I think you've got an addiction? The classic intervention, is that a thing?
Well, I think on a real basic level, when we love somebody and we're being hurt by what they're doing, it's loving to talk to them about it and to say, your actions are affecting me, or, I can see that your actions are affecting you, and I care about you, and I see that this is hurting you. And somebody might respond in a number of different ways. They might, lash out or reject that, not be willing to hear it or ready to hear it. But I think love helps us to keep going and to try to help somebody see what's going on. And when they don't, to be there for when they are ready to.
Yeah, right. Yeah, there's that sense of like, okay, we started this conversation. It might not, but let's not give up on that conversation.
Right.
Let's keep.
Yeah.
What if somebody says, I just have an addictive personality. Is that different than an addiction? Is it like again, I'm sorry, maybe I'm parsing things that aren't there, but
no, there's different ideas about this. I think what people mean when they say that is that this person gives it their all in whatever they do. So if they like golfing, they're going to golf every weekend. If they, if they like, Rocky Road ice cream, that's all the only flavor they're going to have. But from experience, I know that there's lots of different personality types that end up, people with lots of different personality types that end up dealing with addiction, and that it's not just one personality type that that becomes addicted or struggles with substance use or alcohol or other behavioral addictions. And so it's kind of a little bit of a misnomer, because you're, a person who not a type A personality, doesn't mean that you can't have addiction. I mean, and just because you are somebody who's passionate about whatever you do, it doesn't mean that that person is going to become addicted to something that then in turn harms them.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's helpful. Yeah. Addiction is a mental health issue. Is that right? Help us understand this idea, because I grew up, you know, back in the day when we didn't talk about mental health, we just talked about addiction.
Yeah.
What's the correlation or the connection there?
I mean, I think so. And, but I realize that I'm coming at it from a certain perspective, and that the way that I help my patients is to help them view it as a medical or a mental health related issue. But there's lots of other ways of looking at addiction as well. And there's lots of different approaches that people find helpful when they are dealing with addictive issues. So, you know, I think it is accurate to say it's a mental health issue. And that's probably the one of the primary ways that we can destigmatize it. Just like, you know, if somebody has diabetes or high blood pressure, they go to their doctor and they get help. And, you know, they don't feel too bad about that. It's something they have, something they need to do something about. So, you know, I do view it the same way, you know, but recognizing that there's a lot of aspects. It's complex. There's a lot of facets to, you know, to people's lives and what brought them to that place and, you know, and what the solution might be for them.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Okay, so, you know, as followers of Jesus, as Christians, you know, how do we think about that? Because often addiction is connected with sin, or at least not. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm happy for back and forth on that, but with that sin, you know, idea there. So how do we think about that in the light, again, of a mental health issue?
Yeah. You know, I guess I would start at the other end. And so when somebody's getting better, so call it recovery from addiction, often that process involves healing, you know, from health-related issues, relationships, and, you know, previous hurts or offenses somebody's done. And so, you know, my experience with folks in recovery is that they're very attuned with the ways that their actions maybe have hurt someone else. And so, you know, when I think about it that way, I think, well, of course there's a spiritual aspect. You know, of course, the ways that what we do hurt somebody else comes into effect in this particular illness, and that getting better from it, you know, involves dealing with those things. And maybe a way that some other medical issues don't so as much. You know, if you break your leg, right, you don't necessarily need to apologize to your mother.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Maybe you do if she told you not to do whatever you did, but
true.
I know what you're saying. Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
Is addiction connected to spiritual warfare in your mind or your experience?
You know, you know, what I hear from my patients is that their spirituality is very important to them. And I often hear people talk about moments in their journey where, you know, a light bulb went on, where somebody said something that was really impactful, where they had a particularly dark time where there was this spot of light, whether it was from somebody or from, you know, through their faith or something along those lines. And so when I hear about all that, I can't help think, but spiritual warfare is involved, or that people's own, you know, spiritual journeys is really important in all this. So, yeah, I mean, I'd say, yeah. And, you know, how that particularly looks for different people, I don't know. You know, and I wouldn't say I'm an expert in it.
Sure. But, yeah. Well, fair enough. Yeah. You're dealing with it from the medical side of that.
Yeah.
You know, but there is that sort of spiritual side as well.
And look, I love hearing about this from my patients. I love to hear their experiences. What made a difference, and you know, where was that moment where they listened to one voice that was, you know, speaking in their heart or in their head, and didn't listen to another voice that they had been listening to maybe for a long time. And can't help but think that there's, you know, a spiritual aspect to all this.
Yeah. So you know, in the context of a church or a Christian community, what part does community work in that whole idea of dealing with addictions?
Oh, you know, I don't know if there's been any better social experiment than, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic and the restrictions that we've all gone through, because, you know, the thing that it did is it pulled people back from their communities of support. So while everybody was, for the most part, you know, there are people who lost jobs, of course, but people were okay, they didn't have those interactions, people, family, friends, that they were used to. And we saw the numbers of people struggling skyrocket. So our work in the hospital went up by at least 30 to 50%. A number of patients admitted for, you know, in crises, struggling with addiction issues. Some, you know, many of them previously stable, doing well. And I can't help but think that this, you know, aspect of community is much more important than we've realized, that we've given, you know, credit to, in keeping people well.
Yeah.
So
how does, I mean, how would a Christian community, a community of people following Jesus together, I mean, what does that look like to walk with somebody who's struggling in that area with an addiction?
Yeah. You know, I love the question. I think the question is the answer. You know, what does it look like to walk with this person as they struggle with addiction? And that answer might be different for that person than it might be for somebody else. But it starts with asking. And so, you know, I really appreciate, and it just warms my heart when I hear patients talk about this community of people that's kind of come around them. And there certainly is a recovery community, people who've walked it themselves and then come alongside each other. But people talk about the other social circles, positive social networks that they've had inside the church, you know, around maybe particular passions that they have, you know, say, you know, the Rescue Society for animals, doing some volunteer work. They develop a community around that. I mean, I just think it's just so important. Yeah.
Do you think that in the church there's that the church has stigmatized people that are struggling with addictions? Like, do you think that's different than other places?
What do you think?
I think we're always talking around sin and that type of a thing, but we're all struggling with sins in different ways. But somehow the addiction thing is one of these things that seems to, you know, it doesn't leave us quite so easily.
You know, I think different churches have taken on this aspect of their communities more so than others. And, you know, it's a hard road. Whenever you decide to walk with people who are vulnerable or suffering or hurting in some way. You know, I think absolutely there's a role for the church. I might be biased, but I think this might be the heart of it. You know, this might be, what Jesus was after when he created a small community of people traveled the land and ministered to people.
That's interesting. You know, one of the questions that some people might have is that, like, if you label an addiction as a mental health issue, does that not allow then people to kind of have a get out of jail free card? Like, rather than saying, and again, I'm not disagreeing, I'm just asking, rather than saying like, oh no, this is a sin issue you need to deal with, if you label it as mental health, wouldn't it be then be able to say, well, hey, like, it's a health issue, I can't do anything about it? You know, how would you respond if someone asked you something like that?
You know, I think this is where there still is that thought that these things are totally different than a health issue. But if we were to kind of align it with the way we think about other health issues, and I'll give you a really kind of extreme example, is when somebody gets a new cancer diagnosis. You know, of course, they have a lot of emotions and a lot of questions. And when their, you know, provider, their doctor says, hey, look, you know, we're going to need to operate, chemotherapy, radiation, you know, patients often say, you know, like, when can we get started? You know, like, when does this happen? I want this out of me and I want to go through the treatments, or what's it going to entail? And they move forward. You know, it's hard to imagine somebody getting a new kind of diagnosis of a treatable illness, something they can do something about, and saying, oh, well, I don't view it like that, you know? And I think the same is for addiction. If somebody knew that there was help available, that they could be treated, that they could get better, they'd have all those questions. They have all those emotions and all those questions. What can I do? When can we get started with those things that you mentioned? So I think our thinking does have a little bit a ways to go, but nobody would say that calling cancer a health issue is a cop-out. Right. Say, of course, you've got a long road ahead of you. We're all going to stand behind you. We're going to open a you know, GoFundMe page. We're going to bring you meals and help your kids. And yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to help you get through this. Right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So then, you know, again, as a Christian coming into this, what hope does Jesus give to those who are struggling with addictions, with that kind of issues?
You know what? I ask myself this question quite a bit, and I often come back to this, the same, you know, thing that intrigued me about addiction medicine initially. And it's that idea that people get better and that that they can heal from their wounds, and that there's hope. And, you know, that's what I know of and of Christ, is that hope for healing, for reconciliation, a new life. I mean, really, that's it. So I find the parallels to be so strong. The way we deal with all sorts of health, you know, personal problems, you know, dealing with the issues of our soul, and then also coming to this kind of addiction questions and how we deal with that. So many similarities.
Yeah, so beautiful, right? I mean, that's, Jesus is in the process of restoring and renewing and bringing healing.
That's what he's all about.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes, that's a beautiful thing. Yeah. How about hope for family members or friends who are walking? Because it seems to me it's not just the person. Yeah. There's a whole sort of series of people that are affected as well through that.
Yeah. You know, and I often talk to family members who come on behalf of somebody in their life that they're thinking about. And I think I've started to see some patterns. And one is this kind of clear difference between those who are trying to do it on their own. So a family member who's trying to fix somebody in their life, a kid, a spouse, a parent, and they're just, you know, everything they're doing is trying to help that person, fix that person, and in the process they're getting sick themselves, and their own health is being affected. Contrasted to the person who kind of recognizes that they need help in helping somebody else, in helping themselves, and reaches out for that community, resources that are available for them so that they can stay healthy in order to offer the best help, because it is not simple. There's not a single path or a one road that somebody needs to take. You know, I just think, you know, we weren't meant to do things alone. Mm-hmm. The pandemic showed us that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're not meant to be alone. Yeah.
Yeah, we need one another. We need the power of Christ to work in our lives and then pursue that health and that wholeness.
Right? Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy finding the right resources, the right people to talk to. So it is a bit of it takes some navigation, you know, and it's always nice to have somebody with you who can help you navigate, who's been there ahead of you. And, you know, so that kind of peer support, somebody who's been there is really important. But yeah, our system's not, you know, well coordinated always. You know, it's tough for families to know where to turn. And, you know, I'd like to think that's changing. There's more resources, more attention being put towards mental health and addiction, but you know, it's not happening fast enough.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. There's a lot of different things going on. So if somebody, you know, if someone listening is like, man, I think, you know, or I know I've got addiction stuff, but I haven't wanted to, but like, it's time, I need to, you know, whether it's, you know, like a drug addiction or a porn thing or, you know, whatever that is, what would be your advice to that person who's saying, okay, I'm listening, Dr. John, where do I start? You know?
Yeah. You know, I don't think it's too different than many other things that we hold inside, that we were ashamed of, that we've been hiding for a long time. It's to, you know, bring it into the light.
Mm.
And that, for most people, that involves telling somebody else, asking for help, you know, and this kind of element of, you know, of surrender in a way. Saying, hey, look, I've done it on my own for long enough, and need to do something, get some help for this. And, you know, and how many times one thing leads to the next, to the right place for that person. So I think to tell somebody you love, somebody close, somebody you trust, and then, you know, trust the process a bit.
Yeah.
What happens next?
Yeah. Fair enough. It takes courage, right? To do that. Yeah. Yeah. My experience when I've talked to people as a, you know, in a pastoral position is almost without fail, when people come forward and confess that, rather than being rejected or spurned, they experience a kind of a love and a grace from that person that they maybe were terrified about, but instead it's like, okay, and there's just a freedom that begins in that process.
Yeah, that's been my experience too. Yeah. And to see somebody have the weight lifted off their shoulders is pretty rewarding, you know, especially if you can then see them kind of get freedoms from things that they're struggling with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how about again for family members or loved ones, you know, that are watching somebody either walk through addiction or not sort of addressing addiction? I mean, what would be your word of advice or wisdom to them, you know, as followers of Jesus or just people who, like, you know, what do I do if the person I love keeps heading down that road that's causing grief for that person and for us?
Yeah. You know, it's tough because most of the energies are often focused on keeping that person safe, you know, keeping them from, you know, putting themselves in a worse situation, you know, all that kind of energy towards fixing. But I think it's really that taking care of oneself. So making sure that you're healthy enough to help somebody else. And that often means getting that support for yourself, you know, through the struggles. So again, talking to somebody else.
Right.
And I think this piece about educating yourself about, families can educate themselves about what addiction is, what's available. I mean, and learning as much as they can. So while we think, okay, well, that person who's struggling, they're the ones who needs to go to counseling. There might be a role for counseling for family to learn as much as they can about addiction, even if it's not their own problem. There might be a role to attending groups of some sort, support groups that are meant for families. And, you know, there is so much online these days as a result of, you know, the pandemic. A lot of stuff is resources that you had to go in person before have now moved online. And so, you know, it doesn't take much of a search where you can kind of find a bit of a rabbit hole and find some things that might be good starting points. So, you know, in the health region that we're in Maple Ridge and Fraser Health, there's counseling available. There's clinics available, addiction medicine clinics. There's crisis lines and some family support lines. So there is a bunch through Fraser Health as well. But I don't want to say that's the only help, because there's lots of community organizations who do great work as well. Many through faith, many apart from faith. And so sometimes it's these places that people start, and that's okay too.
Yeah. So the message is, if you're struggling with that, take a step.
Yeah.
Find that place.
Yeah.
And there's not sort of one magic website that you'd recommend that you just like, this is the one to go to. Just
right.
Kind of Google, and you got to figure out what's sort of right for your.
Yeah. I mean, from that kind of Fraser Health kind of perspective, there's a link to kind of the medical and counseling services, treatment services, and it's called the Substance Use Services Access Team. So that is a resource. It's a phone number. You talk to a counselor. They help you navigate our system.
Yeah.
So that's one.
And that's free. There's not a charge.
Oh, yeah. It's free. It's part of our healthcare system. Yeah. So it's called the Access Team. And they've been a really great resource for people looking how to figure out our system rather than, you know, trying to Google around, you know, like,
right.
Most people just start there anyways, but, you know, to try to help somebody show you the way kind of thing. Yeah.
Thank you for coming in and sharing your wisdom, your experience around that. My favorite line throughout it was that there's hope. You can find healing from addiction, right?
Yeah.
And with Jesus in our world and surrounded by community, that's it. That's a real possibility.
Absolutely.
Cool. Thank you for making your time out today.
You're welcome.
The best.
Yeah, thanks.